pray. Father, we sung those words, and I wonder if there are any of us here this morning that this inconceivable, glorious truth that you have made a wretch your treasure, that your wounds have fully paid our ransom. I wonder, Lord, if that is just not truths that we speak but have not claimed our imagination and settled in the depths of our soul. And so, Lord, we're asking that by the power of your outpoured spirit upon your word, upon us as your sons and daughters, that you would take the truths of adoption this day, and that you would pierce our soul, that you would knock down every locked door in our heart where we're keeping you at bay, and flood it with your presence and your light and your love and your truth, so that we walk out of this room this morning confident, assured, living into and out of our adoption as beloved and royal sons and daughters. I invite you to take a minute in silent prayer, asking the Lord to do whatever he wants to do through his word this day. We'll be in Romans 8 if you want to turn there. We'll get there eventually. Let me start off claiming over your soul. Princes and princesses of the God Most High, hear and claim the glorious gospel. Galatians 4, 6 through 7. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts by what you cry out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir through God. Brennan Manning, a defrocked priest because of alcoholism and other woundedness, and writer and person you must read lots of, says this in The Furious Longing of God. Abba means in literal English, Daddy, Papa, my own dear father. American child psychologists tell us that the average American baby begins to speak between the ages of 14 and 18 months, and regardless of the sex of the child, the first word normally spoken at that age is da, da, daddy. A little Jewish child speaking Aramaic in first century Palestine at that same age level would begin to say ab. Abba. Jesus' revelation was nothing short of a revolution. Jesus is saying that we address the Almighty, the Transcendent, the Infinite, the glorious God with the intimacy, the familiarity, with the unshaken trust that a 16-month-old baby has sitting on his father's lap. So I asked you this morning, in your personal life, is your personal life characterized by the simplicity, childlike candor, and boundless trust, and easy familiarity of a little one crawling onto daddy's lap? Do you have an unassured or an absolutely assured, unashamed knowing that Daddy, God, doesn't care If you fall asleep or you start playing with toys or even start chatting with other friends when you pray because the Father is just delighted that you have chosen to spend time with Him. Is that the spirit of your interior prayer life? I want to declare to you, as someone who has been helping people for 30 years now draw closer to the Trinity and grow in Christ-likeness in many different forms of callings as counselors and teacher and pastor, there is, you hear this, there is no more experience, more essential for transformation than what Manning calls the Abba experience. Our passage from Romans, echoing the same truth and glorious gospel as Galatians, Romans 8, 12 through 17. Reveals the Abba experience. Please turn there, Romans 8, 12 through 17. This is a passage I cannot implore you enough. Every child of God needs to have this memorized, this passage. You all can do it. Don't say, I don't know how to memorize. Yeah, God will give you the power to memorize. So then, brothers and sisters, and sisters is always implied. The word in Greek is about family of God, and it's not masculine. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, meaning our sinful side, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die as a way of living. But if by the Spirit of God, you are continually putting to death the deeds of the body, not the body, but the sinful side, you will live. You will live the abundant life. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Is that not glorious truth? The Apostle Paul wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, making them the words of God. And he's doing what he often does in his teaching. He's using the story of the Exodus, remember from the Old Testament, the story of the Jews being delivered by God through great miracles and signs and wonders out of slavery in Egypt. He uses that metaphor, that overarching meta-narrative to illustrate our salvation. Just as the Jewish people suffered under bondage and harsh labor under the nation of Egypt and the Pharaoh, so we suffered under bondage and harsh labor under the domain of darkness and the Satan. Just as God displayed great signs and wonders through Moses to rescue his people, so God displayed great signs and wonders through Jesus Christ to rescue us. However, the Jewish people in the wilderness greatly sinned against God whenever they forgot that they were God's children and instead longed to live as slaves again. Likewise, we often choose to live as slaves instead of as adopted children of God. The Jews had spent 400 years as slaves. They knew how to live as slaves. They didn't know how to live as beloved and royal and free sons and daughters. You see, it takes a very different mindset to live as a free child than as a slave or an orphan. As Neil Anderson insists, no one can act in a manner that is inconsistent with how he or she sees himself. And so I ask, how do you see yourself this morning? Do you feel God's delight in you? Do you instead feel shackled by sin or attitudes or unhealthy habits or disabling fears? Or do you see yourself as you really are in Christ, if indeed you are in Christ, as a beloved and royal son and daughter of God? You will live according to how your soul sees itself. Our current sermon series is drawing from material from the gospel-centered life. Listen to some of their thoughts on our adoption in Christ. It says, adoption is the biblical truth that God has welcomed us into his family as his own son and daughters by virtue of our spiritual union with Christ. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to confirm this adoption within us. We just read that in Romans. However, we are prone to forget our identity as God's children, and so we live as orphans instead of sons and daughters. Rather than resting in God's fatherly love, we try to earn his favor, living up to his expectations or a misunderstanding of his expectations. And so we live life on a treadmill trying to be a good Christian so that God will approve of you. Anyone there? To fight back against his tendency to shrink the gospel, we must continually repent of our orphan-like mentality and dwell on our identity as sons and daughters. By faith, we cling to this gospel promise that we are adopted children. Jesus' righteousness, as we just sung, has been credited to us by virtue of grace, not because of striving. We don't need to do anything to secure God's love and acceptance. Jesus has secured it for us. And when we embrace the gospel in this way, the infinite standards of God's holiness is no longer fearful or intimidating because it leads to worship because we know that Jesus has met them fully and we are covered by that. Our identity in Christ, the good news of the gospel, is not that God favors us because of who we are, but that God favors us in spite of who we are. At the root of all of our visible sins and our shame lies this invisible struggle to keep trying to earn, to work out righteousness instead of resting in what is already true of us. Martin Luther wrote, most necessary is that we know the gospel well. We never outgrow the gospel. Martin Luther says, most necessary is that we know the gospel well, teach it to others, and beat it into our heads continually. And as we realize this tendency to try to earn what is already true, it's called pretending and performing, and we have to constantly repent of that. And as we do, the gospel and the cross and the grace becomes bigger and larger and more grand and defining of our life. Look at four blessings of adoption for you note takers. Four blessings of adoption. Number one. Adoption makes us equal in Christ. Adoption makes us equal in Christ. All the barriers, all of the inequalities, all of the division that we see so on horrible display in our world and in our country, of race and ethnicity and of social class and of gender, are removed in the family of God. We take for granted this kind of equality, even though there is still horrible degree of racism and prejudice in our country. But when Paul penned these words of equality for all, it was radical. It was subversive. It was revolutionary. It was a common prayer of Jewish men. I thank you, God, that thou hast not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. And in the society that Paul was speaking into, slaves were only pieces of property. Women were kept confined and disrespected, and Gentiles, non-Jews, were constantly sneered at by the Jews. And it is such passages that we have read from Galatians and Romans that set into motion every movement that has brought equality to slaves and women and children. In God's family, there is no hierarchy. No one has more privilege than the other. No one is more holy than the other. No one has more access to God than the other. No one's prayers have more influence than the other. Child or adult, mature in the faith or newborn in Christ, male or female, all races, whether you serve as pastor or bishop or pope or barely understand the Bible, all stand before God as equal. Equally accepted, equally beloved, equally filled with God's Spirit, equally called and gifted and to serve the body of Christ. No one is more important than the other. No one is more needed than the other. No one is more special than the other. And no one deserves better treatment than the other. Glorious. This is the body of Christ. This is the family of God. This is what it means to be adopted. Number two, adoption gives us the full privileges of being God's son and daughter. The full privileges of being God's son and daughter. And so Paul is writing into a Roman culture, and in the Roman family structure, especially in a wealthy family, Roman family, slaves cared for the children, and the children really had their status wasn't much higher than the slaves. They had no rights, they had no privileges, they had no access to the family inheritance. And Paul is saying, in the family of God, that is not true. At the moment of divine adoption, you are granted the full rights and honor and status and privileges of being a royal son and daughter of God. You don't have to earn these privileges. You don't have to strive for holiness defined by behavior, because you're already declared holy and righteous in Christ. You just simply have to claim what is already true in Christ. And this legalistic rule keeping, this striving for holiness, this trying to be a good Christian, as we've heard so many times, it makes Christ vomit because it denies the power of grace in the cross and his resurrection. Legalistic rule keeping is like living as a hobo in a box when you own a mansion. It's like dumpster diving for food when you have access to a banquet. It's like living in poverty when you have $1 billion in the bank. It's like living like slaves when you are an adopted royal son and daughter of God. Why do we settle for so little? Living in the wild freedom of grace is the fruit of claiming your identity in Christ. Number three, adoption brings us into an intimate father-child relationship with God. Adoption brings us into an intimate father-child relationship with God. And if anything breaks my heart the most in terms of God's people, not in terms of social justice, it's I see so few believers living as if this was actually true. That they can have an intimate, they even don't even like the word. I've heard many of you say, I don't really like that word, intimacy with God. There are many barriers to living fully in this intimate father-child relationship. Here are five. 5 major barriers to intimacy with God. Number 1, projecting an image of earthly fathers onto our heavenly Father. And so some project some kind of inadequate or downright abusive image of some bad earthly father onto God, and so that blocks them from full intimacy with God, because why would I choose to snuggle close to Father God if he's like these other fathers? Number 2, an inadequate understanding of God's character or one's identity in Christ. You can't live out what you don't know. And so some simply do not spend enough time in God's word, and so they're living out of a distorted view of who God is, of what God requires and how to live that, and how to live out the grace and glory of adoption. 3, legalism. Some simply have not grasped the gospel of pure grace. And so they're striving that they can, and when you're striving to measure up to God's standards, will you ever get there? And so their guilt and their shame blocks them from nuzzling up on Father God's bosom. Number 4, unrepentant or habitual sin. Many live in unrepentant or habitual sin. And here's the worst thing about sin, is it breaks Father God's heart and it silences the Spirit's sigh of Abba. And that ought to break your heart, because everything flows out of that voice, Abba. Number 5, busyness. And neglecting God's means of grace or spiritual disciplines, busyness. Some of that busyness define their lifestyle, and so they neglect engaging in God's appointed channels of grace that foster intimacy with Trinity. You see, all these truths about adoption are true. They are guaranteed. They are unbreakable, unshakable truths, but the blessings of adoption aren't just handed to you. You must claim the privileges of adoption through daily engagement in the big 5: God's word, prayer, worship, fellowship, and service. Daily engagement, and then situational engagement in all the other spiritual disciplines. So let's do a little self-evaluation here. Apply God's word to your soul. If any of these barriers are blocking intimacy with the Trinity in your life, the good news is that grace is stronger than every barrier. Do you believe that? Doesn't matter if you have been running from God. Doesn't matter if you have been called towards the things of the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter if you've been neglecting the big 5 of the spiritual disciplines. The very second you turn, repentance means to turn, the very second you turn and lean into God, Father God runs to meet you, grabs you, and says, "Oh, I've missed you so much." The very second. There's no more important pursuit in life than intimacy with the Trinity. There's no more powerful source of joy and purpose and pleasure and power than intimacy with the Trinity. There's no more healing power in the entire universe than the Spirit of God witnessing to your spirit that you are God's adopted child. The Abba moment, the Romans 8 experience. There is no sweeter sound than the Spirit sighing in your heart and whispering in your prayers or singing to your soul, "Abba, Father God." Number 4, adoption makes us joint heirs with Christ. We read about it in our passage from Romans, joint heirs. You know what an heir is? It's an inheritance. This blessing has to do with our eternal destiny. So all those first 3 you have now, this is the inheritance that is to come. We are born into this world as spiritual orphans, destined for eternal darkness, eternal separation from God's presence forever. And adoption changes our destiny to being co-rulers with Christ on God's eternal new earth kingdom. Becoming adopted child of God in review, becoming adopted child of God right now makes us equal in Christ, bestows upon us the full blessings and privileges of sonship, brings us into intimacy with the Trinity. And yet, as amazing and inconceivable and stupendous and outrageous are these blessings, they are all just a deposit of our eternal inheritance. Because at Christ's return, you will take your place in a glorious resurrected body, co-ruling on a perfect kingdom forever and ever, because you are an adopted royal son of God, daughter of God. Let's move to the application thing. So I made the assertion that when it comes to experiencing freedom and healing and transformation and joy, freedom, healing, transformation, joy. Anybody want that? Freedom, healing, transformation, and joy. And close and satisfying and healthy relationship with God and others. Sign me up. There's no more. I'm telling you, this is not pastoral exaggeration that I'm prone to every now and then. There is no more experiential encounter, no more important spiritual formation practice than having these Abba experiences. This is Romans 8, 15, 16 experiences. When the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we are sons and daughters of God, and from the depths of our soul, we cry out, Abba, Father. And this reality, this encounter, this experience, these truths, not only in our head, you know this, will not transform us, because truth that transforms must be spoken to us directly by the Spirit of God so that it captures our imagination, passions, and soul and heart. It's only when truth grips our imagination, grips our heart, that it changes us. We can make these affirmations all day long until we're proverbial blue in the face about who we are in Christ. We can have posters, we can have lists, and I've done this for years before I grasped this experiential truth. It just bounces off your shame until the Spirit of God speaks these truths directly to you. How do we have these Abba experiences, these Roman 8 encounters? They happen in varying degrees of impact every time the Holy Spirit speaks truth of who God is and who you are in Christ directly and personally to you. Tracking? And this happens in 1,000 diverse ways because the Spirit of God uses anything and anyone. And so it happens through songs, secular and sacred. It happens through all the art forms. It happens through enjoying creation. It happens through spiritual friendships. It happens through biblical counselors. The Spirit speaks truth to your soul about adoption through anointed, the Spirit of God empowered preaching and teaching. All those are important. But of all of the spiritual formation practices, of all of the channels and means of God's grace, I have concluded, I am convinced, after 30 years in ministry, after 7 years of doctorate study on this topic, after validated through an intense research group, that there are three practices that have the highest likelihood of fostering Abba experiences. Romans 8 encounter. Scripture meditation, contemplative prayer, and soul care relationships. Scripture meditation, contemplative prayer, soul care relationships. This is why I spend the majority of my preaching and my teaching and my counseling equipping you in these three practices. If you get nothing else, if you people of Grace Point get nothing else out of my 12 plus years as your pastor than the necessity and beauty of having Abba experiences through these three practices, my time here will not have been in vain. That's how important they are. Brennan Manning shares this testimony. He was ministering to a nun. He was a Catholic priest for a while. He was ministering to a nun who carried a joy and intimacy robbing secret for 73 years of being sexually abused by her father. She told Brennan, you have no idea how dirty I feel. I live with so much hatred of my father, hatred of myself. I would only go to communion when my absence would be conspicuous. This is a nun. Brenna shares, in the next few moments, I prayed for her healing. And then I asked her if she would find a quiet place every morning for the next 30 days, sit down in a chair, close her eyes, upturn her palms, and pray this one phrase over and over. Abba, I belong to you. It's a prayer of exactly seven syllables, the number that corresponds perfectly to the rhythm of our breathing. As you inhale, I belong to you. Through tears, she agreed, yes, Brennan, I will. One of the most moving and poetic follow-up letters I've ever received came from this sister. In it, she described the inner healing of her heart, a complete forgiveness of her father, and an inner peace she's never known in her 78 years. She concluded her letter with these words. A year ago, I would have signed this letter with my real name in religious life, Sister Mary Genevieve. But from now on, I'm Daddy's little girl. Beware, says Brennan, this is not sloppy sentimentality or indulgent wistful thinking, but rather a woman who dared to pray in childlike trust and deep reverence that Jesus would mark her as a disciple, and in doing so, she discovered the furious love of Abba. He goes on to say, the greatest gift I've ever received in my life, and I would agree with this for myself, the greatest gift I've ever received in life is the Abba experience. I can only stutter and stammer about the life-changing power of the Abba encounter. My name is Brennan Manning, and I am Daddy's little boy. Brennan Manning was an alcoholic. He knew shame from being defrocked. He was used to saying in AA meetings, my name is Brennan Manning and I'm an alcoholic. But that was no longer true once he experienced God as Abba. Now he claims, I am Brennan Manning and I am Daddy's little boy. You see, once these Abba experiences begin to happen in your soul, you are no longer defined by any past sin or woundedness. And so I ask you again, do you, sitting here this morning, see yourself as Daddy's little boy or girl, as prince and princesses, as beloved and royal sons and daughters? Are you living out of the full blessings and privileges available as divine royalty? And if you're not, why not? What barriers are between you and living the abundant life that Christ offers you? Every barrier can be torn down through God's appointed means. Why would you choose to live one more day in spiritual poverty when the riches of God's glory are at your fingertips? Four things. Here are four specific things you can do to have Abba experiences. Number one, out in our lobby, you will find this beautiful pink assessment. This is from the Gospel Center Life, so do not make copies. You have zero permission to copy this. It will give you an assessment ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me as I work through these, where in what areas of my life am I living as an orphan versus a child? And then you ask the Holy Spirit to move you from orphanness to childness. Number two, if you feel blocked in any way, this is my calling. This is my anointing. This is why I walk planet Earth, to help God's children move out of shame into their glory in Christ. Come see me and let's just diagnose your soul and find out the barriers and then come up with a treatment plan to break into royalty. Number three, if you're not already, engage regularly in scripture meditation, contemplative prayer, soul care relationships, and if you don't know how to do any of those, ask. Number four, take Brennan Manning's challenge. Pray the Abba prayer for the next 30 days in a row. That's important. 30 days in a row, pray the Abba prayer. There's just nothing more important than I can impart to you as your pastor. If God forbid, I have a heart attack and drop dead right now, this is it. This is what I want to leave you as your pastor. These truths, who God is, who you are as an adopted son or daughter, and how you can have these experiences. Because there is just nothing more important in terms of spiritual growth. Come out of the dumpster and feast on the banquet that is yours in Christ. I invite you to take a moment in silent prayer, responding to God's word, asking him to do what needs to be done and how you should respond. Pray for some very, very serious prayer requests that are projected there as well. All right, let's pray. Father, Abba, Father. Lord, I know that in a room with 70 people, they're all over the place. Some are there. Some every day delight in Abba, Father experiences. Others are on the farther side. They say, this is just lunacy. That's not how you live out your faith. Father, I'm praying that wherever we're at, you would meet us, take us by the hand, pick us up if need be, and carry us a little closer into Abba Fatherness. Lord, I ask, with from the tips of my toes to the tops of my head to the tips of my fingernails and all that is in my soul and passion and heart, I ask, I plead, I intercede, I implore, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Father God, that each person who hears this message be wooed, be seduced, be allured, be attracted into and pursuing these Abba experiences. And they would stay in these practices until they break through, whether it's a week, a day, a month, or a year, until you break through. Till the Spirit of God sings with their soul, you are a child of God. Let's rise and sing of these great truths.